T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Welcome back.
Picking the Bills, it means absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's just fun.
I got something I'd like to discuss.
No. 888-552-550. But it was a good try on your part. Can you have a good and bad nervousness?
I've been trying to tell you for years, the only reason you watch sports is because you like the stress.
No, I don't like the stress. I really don't. In my next life, I'm not going to watch sports. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be a sports fan in my next life. I'm going to get into art. Do people stress out over artwork? I guess they do.
What's been your go-to drink during the pandemic?
Well, you know my answer. I loaded up on it over the weekend.
Cupcake vodka?
Cake vodka! It's not cupcake vodka! How many times do I have to tell you? It's cake vodka, not cupcake, Jeremy!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
See, he's laughing. He likes me. He trolls me. The guy I work with trolls me. He likes making me upset.
Trolling you would be if I intentionally said cupcake
you
vodka.
You did intentionally say
no,
it.
No, I didn't know. I thought
you
it,
knew
I
it.
I mixed it up with... Hold on. There's cake vodka. I mix it up with the cupcake Chardonnay, which is like, you know, one of the wines of the week sometimes.
You are too smart a guy. I am not. You remembered in your discussion with Nate.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jonathan got the Yankees job.
Yes.
You remembered a story I told you a gazillion years ago that Jonathan once had an A-Rod shirt.
Yes, that's right.
You're too smart a guy. You would know. You were yanking my chain. You were tweaking me.
I cannot possibly explain the things I'm able to remember and not able to remember.
Ah, you're at that stage of life.
I sat here with Sneaky Joe yesterday and had to have him tell me who Tampa beat in the Cup Finals 2 years ago. Meanwhile, last week, I remembered the phone number of one of my mom's best friends that I haven't talked to in 15 years. I just remembered it and called her. And I was like, hey, I got it right. Just out of the blue, phone number 10 years ago, that I can remember, dinner last night, chicken and rice.
Give me don't you think, you know what, it's a phone
I
number.
I can guess that every night.
I think it's a phone number thing, because my memory is not good.
But how many phone numbers do you even remember now? Like
I remember
five?
All, I
cell phones have taken away that you don't have to remember very many.
Oh, now, I'm saying from years past,
yeah.
I remember lots of numbers from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
My parents' best friends. 295-3189. I could spout out aunts and uncles. My best friends growing up, I know all their phone numbers.
You're supposed to say 555-1212.
No, because
if you're in a movie or on television, you give the fake number.
Well, they don't live at that number. They don't have that number anymore. 1212. So it's funny. I'm the same way. I remember phone numbers, but I could draw blanks on the things that you wouldn't think you would draw blanks about. But I'll tell you that, you know, one of my best friends, you know, 50 years ago, I don't want to give out that's actually an active phone number.
Okay.
Whatever. 561-2644. Done. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. The stuff you remember, it's really, really strange that why would that stuff stick in your head? Or you remember stuff from like preseason football and hockey.
Sometimes.
Well, maybe not hockey. But you're really good with preseason football games. I don't remember. I remember maybe 0.5% of things that happened in a Bills preseason football game over the years.
Yeah.
Maybe 1%.
Here's a great one. Zach, yesterday we talked about things that we didn't remember happening. Like, hey, did it happen during the pandemic? Was it real? Was it fake? And I don't remember the thing
topic.
That Joe gave as an example of do I remember that a thing happened.
See, but part of the problem here is what's happened with your life recently?
Kids.
Uh-huh. When you get kids, I believe it eats away at brain cells.
Definitely.
So your memory, because you remember, you got to remember your kids' names.
Right.
So
I'm good on that.
So, you know, some of that other stuff in your brain, because of kids, I think it starts eating away at other stuff.
Yeah. No, it definitely does. And every single day is just, yeah.
Right.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
Of course, you have been known to forget your car keys,
mm-hmm.
your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
You've done that here a few times.
The thing that I start to do now, you know how sometimes you'll take cereal out and take milk out and then go to put the cereal back in the fridge and be like, no, that's not that. This one goes here. That kind of stuff is happening to me a lot
Honey,
more.
Honey, why is there cream cheese in the pantry?
You'll take the top off the cream cheese and the top off a soda bottle and you'll go to put this. No, that top does not go on that one. That's definitely wrong. And I'll open my phone like, oh, that's right. And I'll open up to go to the apps and think, what app was I just going to? I don't even remember was I shopping? Was I going to call someone? I picked up my phone for a reason. And it'll come to me. Put the phone back down.
It's going to happen more often, I got to tell you.
Oh, it's happening.
Wait another 10 years. But yet, you can recite like Josh Allen's stat line from a game in 2019 probably.
Yeah.
You know, or a throw he made the Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas. You could probably recite like specific plays. Just boom.
Happened late last week, or maybe it was yesterday. Again, perfect for the segment. Brian Baldinger was tweeting out Allen highlights and showed one of his really bad mistakes from the Green Bay game, which was his his third career start.
Yeah.
They got shut out 22-0. He showed, you know, Allen running away from pressure and heaving it up, and Jaire Alexander got a pick, and then he fast-forwarded to the Chiefs game. And like, now look at him. Now he makes that into a play.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm thinking about that.
It's fun every now and then on Twitter. What was it? Was it a throw, I think, against the Patriots? The game in Foxborough, I want to say, maybe. Every now and then you'll see on Twitter the Brian Baldingers of the world, whatever, the national NFL media who like to tweet out clips. Every now and then you'll come across someone tweeting out, hey, check out this crazy throw from Josh Allen from this past season.
Yeah.
And I think one of them was the Patriots game. I don't remember who, kind of running to his right, throwing to maybe Gabriel Davis. I forget. Doesn't matter. Point being, Josh Allen throws
the Patriots,
and
highlights. It would have been Diggs.
It was moving left to right. As you looked at the play from behind the Bills.
Yeah, and Allen's rolling to the top of the screen, turns his body, and throws.
Almost a little sidearm throw.
That's Diggs.
It's amazing to watch that stuff. You know, it's just, and you see that, I just can't wait till next season. Like, I just want next season to get here. The schedule, more than ever, the schedule is going to make me want opening day, like, right away.
Rookie minicamp is next week, right?
Is it next week?
I thought it was next week.
Oh, very good. Okay. Oh, we're getting into, and then we get into actual football usage at OTAs. Not just stretching and watching tape and all that stuff.
It's this weekend. Sorry,
this weekend. Good.
Yes.
No, I. You know, look. We know there's an incredible buzz about the season, and we all can't wait for it to start. And we hopefully will end with a Super Bowl parade in downtown Buffalo and all that other stuff. But man, when you know the schedule, I know when the schedule comes out, you usually start getting excited. But this, what's it? May 12th is Thursday. How many days from May 12th till the opening day for the Bills? It can't get here soon enough. It's been 30-something years since there was this much buzz about wanting to get to the regular season as soon as possible to see this team play again.
The roster, of course, they had a good offseason. People would be pretty happy about the offseason, bringing in Von Miller, and the draft went according to plan. Another thing that happened, were you here for Roger Saffold or no?
Yeah.
Okay, were you here for Ryan Bates' offer sheet getting matched?
Yes.
Okay. Like, they kept their line together.
Yeah.
And they changed offensive coordinators, of course. But, you know, thinking about this overall offseason, everything that happened, everything pretty much went well. I don't know anybody that says they had a bad offseason. You have some people that maybe didn't like a draft pick here or there. Mm-hmm. You didn't like that they spent a pick on a running back or went with a smaller linebacker with a third-round pick. But, you know, outside of the occasional this or that, the offseason was pretty much according to plan with an added stud at defensive end.
Yeah, and I think there's a positive feeling about, and I'll throw Von Miller in it, the overhaul up front, you know, bringing back Jordan Phillips, bringing back Shaq Lawson, the changes they made on the defensive line.
Tim Settle, Daquan Jones. Yeah,
the additions they made up front on that line. Obviously, that was a big priority for them to overhaul the line, which they did. And then, of course, the huge splash with Von Miller. But even, you know, even the receivers. Okay, Sanders is Actually, he never signed anywhere, right? Isn't he still? Sanders out, Beasley out, Crowder in. And we expect a really big season from Gabriel Davis. I like the Crowder addition. And you still have McKenzie, who can help out in the slot on offense, and the Shakir kid, right, who can maybe help out in the slot on offense if he makes the 53-man roster.
Which I think he will, and, you know, he'll help in the slot. The question I have for him in training camp is, can he help on the outside? You know, you mentioned Manuel Sanders, who sounded like he was done when he was on Good Morning Football. He's still deciding what he's going to do. I do think the Bills need another body on the outside. They definitely will find some bodies at training camp, because you got to find one person past Diggs and Davis that can play on the outside. And if somebody comes into camp and then Shakir points, looks like he can do it, well, then great. But on the outside, their depth is, it's not good.
Well,
it's Diggs and Davis, and if Kumerow has to go in, I mean, I just think it's like the one thing I'm nervous about for the team.
Maybe as they get closer to camp, is it possible they bring in Sanders or someone, a veteran receiver on a one-year deal?
I think it's possible.
They have cap space, right? And Brandon Bean might have been with you guys. I don't know. Brandon Bean recently said that they're probably not going to the 90-man limit right now. He'd like to leave a few spots available for guys that are out on the market. I don't think it's James Bradberry.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. That's actually how I was leading into this, because I'd rather do a receiver depth position than Bradberry.
Corner. Yeah.
And Bradberry, it's not that I don't like the player, but they drafted the corner, and once they did that, Bradberry, to me, was out.
Right.
You play three defensive backs all the time, five, I guess, with the two safeties, but that's Trey White when healthy, Taron Johnson, and Kyer Elam. And if Bradbury's on the roster, he's taking snaps away from one of them. You want to say, well, he's insurance for Trey White. That's fine. As soon as Trey White's healthy and we feel like he's 100%, who sits? Bradberry? Kyer Elam? Who has snaps taken away from them? And I just think, if it's Bradberry trying to get his next big contract on
not coming here.
No.
Oh, he'd go for the one-year prove-it deal.
Well, a one-year prove-it deal, he's going to want to go someplace he can prove it.
Right.
And here, if he's proving it, somebody else is not on the field.
Well, he's not guaranteed a playing time.
Right.
So, and there was, you know, I would think if you're looking at cost, I think it would be absolutely cheaper, and it would actually make more sense too. It would be cheaper, I think, to get the one-year wide receiver coming in to a veteran guy, come in, hopefully get some good stats and go hit the market again. Bradberry, I would think, and I know it's hard to sign as a free agent at this point in the season. A lot of teams have, you know, used up their cap space. I would think Bradberry is still looking for a sizable number if he can get it. There was a story, that Houston had agreed on the compensation with the Giants for a trade, but they could never come to agreement on a contract with Bradberry. So I'm going to guess Bradberry is still, the guy was making whatever, I don't know, you just gave up, what was he going to make, like 8, 9, 10 million a year? Whatever. My point is, I don't think he'd come cheap. I think it'd be easier to sign an Emmanuel Sanders type of receiver who says, give me a gig, give me a one-year deal, and, you know, if I have a good year, I can go back out on the market next year and play somewhere else. They're going to throw the football here. There are going to be passes available, some targets available, and I think you're right. From an insurance standpoint, wouldn't hurt to have – you did lose two veteran receivers in Sanders and Beasley, and you replaced them with Crowder. So you could make – you do have a spot to bring in another guy, unless they just figure McKenzie's going to be fine, Kumro's there, and Shakir will have a role, whatever, will be fine addition, you know, with all that put together. I'd like to see him get another receiver. I wouldn't mind seeing another veteran guy come in and help.
One of the most interesting guys at camp will be, I mean, rookie camp will be one thing because we'll get to see him run and see how he moves. Like, I'll be excited to hear how James Cook looks at rookie minicamp. You know, all the reporter just gush over the speed, gush over the movement, you know, how quick he is, how elusive he is. And when we get to training camp, I'm watching James Cook like I've watched other former Bills running backs that have the breakaway ability. You know, Spiller was, how fast can he be? How good can he be? And a running back like that, you know, when McGahee came here, I had Paul do the Willis McGahee touchdown tracker. The whole appeal of McGahee for me in, 2003, so almost 20 years ago, was if he has a hole, it's a house call. And James Cook has that kind of speed, right? If he hits a hole, you might get a house call. Maybe he gets caught from behind late, but he offers them something in speed. But more so in the passing game, the things he does in the passing game, the running backs on this team don't do that.
No.
You know, out passes down the sideline. Like, you just don't get that. I mean, Singletary and I guess Duke Johnson, whatever. Breida showed a little bit of this ability, but they didn't trust him.
They didn't have much of a role for him, right?
No.
Right.
So I'm excited for Cook. I might have wanted that to be a receiver that went in the seventh or went one of those seven guys rather than James Cook, but you know, you can only do what the board does for you and whatever. He's exciting to me.
I'm sure you guys talked about this when after the draft. What happens to Zach Moss? We know Singletary's here.
Yeah.
And I suppose I shouldn't. It's not like it's in cement that Duke Johnson is here, but I think they did that. Maybe that pickup was just insurance and now they draft James Cook and they don't need Duke Johnson. But that's the thing I was thinking about when they drafted Cook. What happens to Moss? Because his role really diminished as the season went on last year. And I'm not sure the style of running back he is, how does it fit? How many carries? What kind of touches? How is he involved in the offense?
I guess the only thing I would wonder is, does McDermott have, and by extension, of course, Ken Dorsey, does he have any sort of affinity for, I want someone that's going to punish them? Because Moss,
more physical running,
Moss
yeah.
does that.
Right.
Right. Right? When Moss has been at his best and when we felt really good about Zach Moss, it's he makes defenders make business decisions. And if I've got James Cook that's a scat back or whatever and Singletary is versatile, I mean, maybe I don't need Duke Johnson because of the draft pick and I keep Moss because I want someone. It's tough picturing McDermott or trying to like put words in his mouth. I don't want to do that. But if I told you or if someone told you that McDermott likes having a hammer in the backfield, would you be surprised?
No. Got a lead. Physically pound against guys. Impose
our will.
Running backs running guys over. No, it wouldn't.
There's 4 minutes left. I mean, I'm not sure I want to give it to James Cook. We need a yard. I want to be. It just.
But they're not going to keep four running backs and Tywan Jones for special
no,
teams, right?
And that's
so
where
then
I think
Duke Johnson would be the guy out.
That's what I would think.
Because Cook maybe basically. I mean, they were looking at McKissick more as a pass catching back, right? So now Cook is the third running back,
yeah.
Supplanting Duke Johnson because they're all not staying.
Right. Do you remember the old video game that I think it was like Nintendo or Atari, Ice Hockey, where they had three different guys, the fat guy, the middle guy, and the skinny guy?
No.
That's the Bills running back room. Zach Moss is not fat.
Well, they're different
but
types.
But the way they run,
right.
You've got Moss on the one end, power.
Yep.
Cook on the one end, and then Singletary is kind of like in the middle.
A little bit, yeah. Not a speed guy, but has a little bit of quickness
elusive.
And elusiveness. Right.
Yeah, makes guys miss. And Moss does that too, but I mean the way Moss runs – it looks like he's odd man out, but Duke Johnson.
Right.
You know, if you cut Moss, you're cutting a draft pick. If Duke Johnson doesn't make the roster, who blinks?
It's no big deal. So maybe he's the odd guy out now. All right, we are talking schedule. 803-0550 to join us. The NFL announcing today that the Rams and Broncos will play on Christmas Day. That was their game of the day to be announced. The whole schedule coming out Thursday night. We know the Bills have one night game. There will be more. Would you like to see them get the maximum amount of scheduled primetime games? That would be 6, by the way. What about playing on Thanksgiving? What about playing on Christmas? There are still 2 Christmas spots left open. 1 taken today, 2 other Christmas Day spots. Would you like to see them play on Christmas Day? 803-0550 to join us. By the way, coverage of the schedule released this week on WGR is brought to you by BookSeats.com. Custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Still on the wall and out of the zone. Right back in come the Amherst. Long there. They score! It came out in front of the net. Murray was there. He chips it up a right corner.
Longtime Amherst voice Don Stevens. The Amherst playoffs continue tonight in Utica as they open a series with the Comets. We're joined on the West Tour Hotline by Amherst coach Seth Appert. Seth, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Welcome. Nice to have you on the show again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, congratulations. I know your sights are set on tonight, but obviously wouldn't mind spending a few moments with you just talking about the significance of winning that first series for the Rochester Americans against Belleville.
Yeah, it was a great series win. I mean, Belleville's a very good team, and it's a hard matchup for us. We're pretty young. We have a young team for the American Hockey League, and they're a big, physical, heavy, nasty team to play against. And so they threw everything in the book at us, and I thought we handled their physicality well. We stayed pretty disciplined and found a way, obviously, to win two extremely close games. Anytime two games go to overtime, you know, you can build on that feeling and that confidence of delivering for your teammates in big moments. So that's certainly something we want to try to take hold of.
Seth, it was a fight for you guys to make the playoffs. You get in at the very end there, and now you're going to get another round of playoffs. How valuable, or what is the value to the players of these playoff games, in your opinion?
Well, it's huge. Winning is part of development, and it can't be more important than development. And development can't just be more important than winning, because winning is part of it. You look at what Tampa Bay has done in the NHL. Well, most of those guys went on long playoff runs in Norfolk when their team used to be in the American League there. And those experiences, whether you go all the way and you win a championship or you just play in series and you win some series, it's a different level of hockey. The physicality, the competitiveness rises by 10-15% of the playoffs. Every play matters in the playoffs. So, you know, the fact that we were in a month-long push to make it, that was great development experience, because there was success and failures that went with that. And then we get in, and then you get to go through the experience of playing in two really physically competitive games. And then for most of these guys, right, the overtime is usually in the regular season, it's 3-on-3 in hockey now. And now you're playing 5-on-5 overtime, and you're going deep into overtime. And all of those things, you'll learn a lot about yourself. You're going to succeed in some of those moments. You're going to fail in some of those moments. But it's a huge piece of the development curve for our prospects.
You did not have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen for those two games. He's injured. Is there any chance he could be back in the playoffs at some point?
In the playoffs, yes. He is progressing well. He's getting better day to day right now. He is on the ice in controlled environments by himself and just isolated shooters. I doubt it'll be in this series, maybe at the back end of the series, but he is definitely potentially able to be back should we keep winning.
How about Matias Samuelson's status?
He's getting closer. He's progressing well. I think that there is certainly a chance we could see him in this series. It won't be, certainly it's not tonight, but then we have a little bit of a break in the series, and then it starts humming pretty good Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday if necessary, right? So there is a chance we could see Matias in the back end of the series.
One of the guys that came down from Buffalo, one of them, of course, was Peyton Krebs. How has he looked since he got back, and what has he done in the first couple games of this series?
Him and Fitzgerald have been outstanding. So Krebs, Krebs played 20 games, I think, with us right away when he got traded, performed well, really, really high character, high competes, high hockey intelligence. So there's so much good stuff there. Did some really good things up in Buffalo, had some struggles at the same time in Buffalo, which is expected of a young player of his age. And it certainly came back with a lot of confidence, but also, you know, he was really excited. And this is something he wanted. He talked to Kevin Adams about this, that he wanted to earn the right to stay in Buffalo for the regular season. But he also wanted to come down here and go on a playoff run with all these guys that he was teammates with before. And so he was really good. I think he had 3 points in 2 games, was competitive, played center, which is an important piece of his development because he's played mostly wing in the NHL, but we do see him as a center long term. So he's been really good, and this is really key minutes for him. And then Fitzgerald has been dominant. Getting him back is been a huge boost to our decor, which was pretty depleted because we had him and Samuelson gone. In Buffalo, we had Davidson and Tischke out with injury. So to get Tischke back from injury, to get Fitzy back, has been a big boost for our decor.
Two other guys I want to ask you about before we let you go. In the discussion of going from regular season to what it's like in a playoff atmosphere, Paterka and Quinn both had very good regular seasons. I know it's a small sample size, Seth. It's only 2 games. But how have they handled the playoff experience so far?
I think it's been a good learning experience. They've had some success. I think Paterka found his way to a few points. Quinn hasn't yet. But, you know, Belleville targeted them. That's just that simple. I bet each Quinn and Paterka probably received, you know, 10 to 15 cross checks each game from Belleville. And Belleville's putting their biggest, meanest players out against them. They were holding them, slashing them, cross checking them, making life miserable on them. And so that's a good experience to go through. Now, I thought it should have been called tighter. I thought that the league let too much go in that series, and it was getting dangerous. But nonetheless, I think those are really good experiences. Where they succeeded most is they stayed disciplined. They found a way to help us win in other ways than scoring. And that's hard to do sometimes for 19 and 20-year-olds that are scoring players. And what they did is they played competitively. They stayed disciplined. They didn't go to the penalty box. They occupied a lot of Belleville's time, really, in terms of their focus. And that freed up some of our other lines to have offensive success.
Final thing for you, Seth. Utica, what are your thoughts on how you match up with them?
Well, they won our division. They've been one of the best teams in the league all year, but we have played well against them. We're 6-5-1 in our series, so we had a winning record, but we're 6-2-1 in our last 9 because they beat us the first 3 games. They had a 14-game winning streak to start the season, so we've played well against them. Now, 6-2-1 sounds great, but don't let it be misleading. I mean, it's going to be tooth and nail. They have a really, really good lineup, very explosive. New Jersey's not in the playoffs either, so all of their best prospects are down here playing for them like ours are for us right now. So it's going to be a battle, but we have learned a lot of playing against them, and I think that playing them so many times has made us a better team and prepared us for this.
Well, good luck tonight, and as always, thanks very much for giving us some time on the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Seth Appert and the Amherst. They're tonight. They're opening their series tonight in Utica. And I know Paul mentioned this last hour. If you want to go see the Amherst, they will be home Sunday at 5:05. That's game 3 of the series at Blue Cross Arena in Rochester. Again, Sunday,
So if you want to get tickets for that, they are available right now by going to amerks.com. So that's interesting what he said about, go ahead, do you want to say something about Krebs? They envision Krebs at center long term. I wasn't sure about that. We know Thompson is there and Cousins is there. So if they, down the middle, if they envision Krebs long term at center, he would be there. And I assume Mittelstadt, is Mittelstadt staying at center? If he is, there you go. There's your, those are your four guys down the middle set going forward. Thompson, Cousins, Krebs, in whatever order. Thompson, Cousins, Krebs, and Mittelstadt. We shall see. 803-0550 to join us. We were talking about the schedule this morning a little bit. And the primetime games, we know the Bills have one. It was announced yesterday. They're going to play Tennessee. You can have up to six scheduled primetime games. You think the Bills are going to get six? We'll go through. Actually, we didn't really go through those yet. We can do that maybe top of the hour and go through the primetime candidates for them. Maybe they're playing on Thanksgiving. Would you like to see that? There are three Christmas Day games this year. One has already been locked in. The Rams and the Broncos announced earlier this morning as one of the games on Christmas. Would you like to see the Bills play on Christmas? You can let us know at 803-0550.
Sam Farmer writes for the Los Angeles Times, covers the Rams, has just posted that all signs point to the Rams opening the season at home against the Bills. And he also, the tweet says using schedule Sudoku, which he doesn't actually do. I mean, he's using that term as if you slot this here and this there, and you know, if there were enough clues to say it has to be this because it's the only one that fits, he's basically laying out the case that Denver was a big candidate,
yeah,
and if they're gone, it's got to be the Bills. That's his math here. Now, again, he covers the Rams. This kind of gets to the question, do the Rams know?
I think he's pretty connected to the league, too,
that's
based on
100%.
The reports he's had over the years, the franchise moving out there.
Yep.
I think he knows his
100%.
Stuff.
All of this gets to, but do they know yet? Does anybody know?
You don't think they tip off teams on at least their opener?
Well, they have to because on Thursday at 6 p.m.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
already. Like it's. I know you said the schedule can change right up until the very last moment, but wouldn't be out of, would it be crazy to think that the NFL at least gives teams a heads up? Your opener is.
Yep. One thing about exactly that, someone wrote to me suggesting the Bills might not know who their opener is. There have been any leaks about it. And every year before the schedule comes out on scheduled day, there are leaks that
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got a four-day schedule reveal.
Right.
The leaks are going to come fast and furious.
You think there'll be more because of this?
100%. More people know. More people know, and games are locked in. And, you know, like Sal pointed out that the Eagles and the Royals, or the Eagles and the Chiefs, know that their week two games are their home openers because their stadium parking lots are booked for week one.
Yeah.
Teams are going to know all of that stuff. Hey, we don't want to play on this day because the Sabres will play. Not the Sabres, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
right.
The teams would know the inner workings. So you would think that if they don't know, they'd have a couple ideas about at least some of their stuff.
This is. Do you like this? A game. I saw your tweet. The concept of releasing
the schedule slowly.
Morsel might not even be the way to describe what they're releasing.
I think they should be releasing 4 to 5 games. Because
is that too much? You don't think
no,
that's too much?
They are getting a lot of obviously publicity. They yep. want this.
Yep.
And I think that's great. I have absolutely no problem with it. Maybe 3 games each, 4 games each network, because 1 is just enough to get people saying, like, all right, well, there it is. There could be a lot more.
But you can, off of one, it does obviously shoot into different discussions.
Yeah.
We see Rams Broncos and go, okay, how does that affect Bills Rams?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so from that one game, there can be some speculation that comes
from
it. For
sure. I just think there's a little bit more of a sweet spot with a little more.
Yeah.
The fact that ESPN only gave out one doubleheader on week two. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 more games. Can you give me a... give me a week 10 and a week 16.
It's funny how they're picking and choosing where, which game is being, right. It's, we know what, 1, 2, 3, we know 3 games now in week 2. And the only other week that's been revealed is the Christmas Day game that was revealed this morning. Like, why did they go, what was so special about week 2?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to reveal anything for week 1? Are they holding everything in week 1? And then let's just skip right to Christmas. They didn't reveal a Thanksgiving game yet. It was Christmas Day they revealed. which, by the way, they are going up against NBA games, rather, I should say, on Christmas Day. Yep. I think it's kind of odd. Like, why are they picking and shoot? Where are they going to say which game, which week are we going to announce with people?
So anyway, just reading more of Sam Farmer's piece, he says, throughout the scheduling process, the NFL gave strong consideration to pitting the Rams and Denver for the opener in light of the recent interest in Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson. Dallas and San Francisco were also candidates to open against the Rams. He's talking like it's done. Were also. So that leaves only Buffalo and Vegas. And he's pointing out the last two times these teams played, you got points. Last time they played here in Buffalo, 35-32. Allen had four touchdowns in that game. The Rams rallied from down 25. It would have been
Bills got a little bit of a help from a penalty flag.
They did. Yeah.
I wonder, is it possible, the way he's reporting it, almost like, you know, sometimes in coach searches, people get to the answer by knowing which candidates have been told they're out?
Yeah.
Is it, this is just me being crazy, speculating with all this stuff. Maybe the Bills and the Rams weren't told, but do they call, hey, Jerry Jones, just so you know, you're not playing the Thursday night opener this year. All right, cool.
Yep.
If Farmer finds out the Cowboys, by process of elimination, could he backdoor it and go, well, the Cowboys know they're not going to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Niners have been told they're opening on Sunday in week one. And the Broncos are on Christmas Day. You could almost go backwards and say, well, that leaves the Bills as the obvious candidate, if indeed that's how he's reporting the story. I'm just spitballing. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-5550. We talk about the schedule all week. Hey, that's what the NFL does. In an off season, it gets you to continue to talk about football. Don't miss the Buffalo Bills RV show featuring Colton RV, May 12th through the 15th at Highmark Stadium, including 30 RVs for 30% off. No payments for 90 days. Show prices on everything. They will also have a chance for you to win 4 Buffalo Bills tickets.
A tradition unlike any other.
Picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. You're doing what?
They're the best team in football right now.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Something's going to be different.
Yeah.
Howard's going to pick the Bills.
Yeah.
And this is going to be different this
time.
All right.
Gosh takes shotgun snap. Looks, steps up, has time, fires to the end zone, caught, touchdown, Buffalo! Are you kidding me? Gabriel Davis again!
Picking the Bills, it means absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's just fun.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Stop, we just got terrible news.
Good, we'll hold off, what?
John Aaron, Sports Business Journal. Tom Brady will join Fox Sports as lead NFL analyst when his career ends.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I'm not watching football on Fox. Mute! Whose genius idea was this? Who thought he would be a good analyst?
This is terrible news.
Wow.
Legitimately, you know, sports-wise, terrible, awful news.
He's never going away from your life.
This is awful.
Was this your worst nightmare?
He's never going
away. It's up there.
Well, the worst nightmare would be he just keeps playing another 5 years.
He's also going to be terrible at it.
Yeah, he's not going to be good.
He's phony. He's so phony.
No, he's genuine. What are you talking about?
He's not going to be any good. He's going to make $30 million just...
He's going to have that Brady smile. He's going to be giving.
He's
going to
mention all of his rings all the time.
Oh, for sure. The first game he has.
Yeah.
When they do the stand up to start the telecast, he's going to show like he's going to be wearing all the Super Bowl rings. Going to need a new Man in the Arena documentary behind the scenes with Tom Brady at Fox. Poor guy. You're not taking this well. Just hit mute. You can watch the game. You don't have to listen to Brady.
I'm not a huge
fan of his personality.
I can't be alone here, right? Listen, I understand everybody feels this way about somebody, and people probably feel this way about me, and that's fine. This is awful.
Wow. That's hilarious.
Now I'm stuck in this netherworld of not wanting him to retire. It's easier to avoid the Bucs.
Well.
Next year he's going to play for the Dolphins.
You know, we still have another hour of the show left. You can't leave.
I mean, can't he just go away ever?
He would miss football too much. He's too important to the sport.
Hey, good news. Troy Aikman's leaving. Oh, great. Okay, who's jumping in? Tom Brady.
I'd rather have Troy Aikman. I'm trying to... We got a break. I'm trying to think of the worst possible combination of a play-by-play guy to pair with Brady. I don't really have one, quite honestly. Brady is the story, of course, but...
Who's the play-by-play guy we don't like?
I know. Well, whoever it is, give him the job with Brady. I know, it's just... That's
okay. Here it is.
That's a shaky move.
The demonic pairing is if Julian Edelman gets the play-by-play job. That's the only thing that could be worse.
We got to find a former Pats player who does broadcasting.
Robert Kraft is going to do play-by-play.
All right, we'll get a break. We are going to. You were supposed to pick the Bills Titans game. We'll do.
You were just going to pick the Bills Titans game. I'm sorry. We got. Hey, shocker! Tom Brady ruined fun.
Hey, you know what? The good thing about being off for 6 weeks, I'm not even upset yet. It's just kind of, I'm good today. Like, I don't mean, you could have, if there's bad news, pass it along to, nothing about the Mets, though. I don't want any, like, no stories about, like, Scherzer's arm fell off overnight.
This is so bad.
Sorry, man. 803-0550 to join us. We'll talk more Bill's schedule. We'll pick the Titans game in a moment. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.